Let's look here to Ezekiel 22, and we're going to read several places tonight, but we're going to start with just the one verse, Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30. The Bible says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." That's a sad statement right there of a time when God said, "I was seeking for a man, I was looking for a man that would stand in the gap for me, but I couldn't find any. I couldn't find any." And I want to preach to you tonight about that standing in the gap. I think that Ezekiel was a man who did stand in the gap for God, helped to make up the hedge. And that's the kind of man that I want to be, and I hope it's the kind of man that you would want to be also. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us tonight. And I pray you'd help me to be the preacher and the man that you want me to be this year. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. This message is maybe just as much preached really to me as to you, but again, as we've continued with our theme of kneeling and sitting and standing, tonight's message is a message that I found and studied some things as I studied on that theme and was studying the word stand. And let's look back, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 2. Ezekiel, chapter number 2. I just want to talk to you about really how Ezekiel did stand in that gap for God. God, he was a spokesman for God, if you will. Ezekiel was not a prophet who spoke his own words. He was a prophet who spoke God's word. Thus saith the Lord. He wanted to speak the word of the Lord to the people. God wanted to use him to stand up and speak for him. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're going to look there at verse number 1. Sorry, I have to turn all these microphones off so we don't get some extra noise there. Ezekiel chapter 2, and let's look there at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee." God says, "I want you to stand up, Moses. I want you to stand up, Ezekiel, and I'm going to speak unto you. I have some words that I want to speak to you." Notice verse number 2. "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impudent children, and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." God's really laying it pretty clear for Ezekiel, wasn't he? He said, "You're in the midst of a rebellious nation. You're in the midst of a rebellious people." He says, "I'm going to give you words to speak, and I want you to speak those words for me. They're impudent children. They're stiff-hearted people. They may give you looks," but he says, "you don't worry about those looks. You just keep preaching the word that I tell you to preach." And you got to like that. Ezekiel wasn't their man. He was God's man. He was standing in the gap for God. He was there to preach unto them, "Thus saith the Lord." And this is what God's word is. And he did what God wanted him to do. Notice verse number 7. "And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man," chapter 3, "he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll.
And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Isn't the word of God in Psalms compared as being to like honey? God's word is like honey. He says there in verse number 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. You know what? Ezekiel was not just a man who was going and sharing his own words with them. Ezekiel wasn't a man who was just going and sharing, well, here's my ideas and here's my philosophies and here's what I think. No, Ezekiel was going unto them as God's man, standing in the gap between God and them to share with them God's message, to share with them God's words. And God was honest. He said, some people won't like it. Some people won't want to hear it. It's amazing as we read through some of those Old Testament prophetical books, the prophet books, and we see times where God is totally honest with the prophets and through the prophets, and he says, you know what, some will turn their faces from it, some will almost go like this and plug their ears up because they don't want to hear the preaching of God's word. They don't want to hear what God has to say. But he said to Ezekiel, I want you to eat the words that I give you, and I want you to stand up then and go and speak those words unto them. What was Ezekiel doing? He was really standing in the gap. Standing in the gap between God and man to be God's preacher to them, to preach to them and speak to them the words of God. That's what God wanted Ezekiel to do. God wanted to use him to stand up and to speak for him, to be his mouthpiece, to just be the one that would proclaim the word of God to the people. Turn with me over to Ezekiel 13, if you would. And I want to apply it now to preachers. Preachers. Every church needs a preacher that will preach the word of God. Preachers are not supposed to preach their own words. They are to preach God's word. They're to preach God's word. That may not take place in all places that call themselves a church. But preachers are to preach the word of God, the whole counsel of God. Ezekiel chapter 13, and beginning there in verse 1, the Bible says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy. Isn't this interesting? He says, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. That evidently there were some that called themselves prophets. Remember, it was yesterday at the men's Bible study, we read the verse in the New Testament, where Jesus was talking about how some one day will say, didn't we prophesy in your name? But Jesus is even going to say to them one day, depart from me, I never knew you. And here comes Ezekiel, and God is telling him, I even want you to preach against the preachers. I want you to preach against some of those in the land of Israel that are calling themselves prophets, that are calling themselves preachers, because they're not doing what I want them to do. God says to Ezekiel, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. See, God doesn't want it to be that preachers preach just what's in their own heart or what comes from their own spirit. He wants them to preach what comes from the Spirit of God. He wants them to preach the words of God. It says, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit. Verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Foxes in the desert. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. Again, those who preach, just preach their own words. The Bible said there in verse 5, they are failing. They are not standing in the gap. They are not making up the hedge. And God was looking for some preachers that would do that. God was looking for some men that would stand in the gap, looking for some men that would make up the hedge. But he said, I can't find them. I can't find them. And Ezekiel was told to even prophesy and preach against them because they were preaching from their own heart and preaching their own words rather than preaching the word of God. Those who just preach their own are failing to stand in the gap. Ezekiel's responsibility and every preacher's responsibility was to speak what God wanted him to speak and to speak when God wanted him to speak. That's important. Both are important. God wants a preacher to preach what God wants him to say. Right, Eric?
God wants the preacher to say, hey, this is the word of the Lord. This is God's word. I might not like it. You might not like it. But this is God's word. This is what God has to say.
This is what God says about our sin. This is what God says He wants us to do. And we may not all like it, but we're to preach the word of the Lord and we're to be convicted by it and then begin to live it. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. We need preachers who will preach the word of God. Preach what God wants them to speak and when God wants them to speak. Look back with me in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and beginning there in verse 15. With that thought of saying what God wants them to say and when God wants them to say it, I'm going to make a couple statements here. Number one, preachers must preach the word of God and say what God wants them to say. Say what God wants them to say. In Ezekiel 3 and verse 15, it says, "Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying..." Notice, "the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth." He says to Ezekiel, the prophet, the preacher, you hear my word from my mouth, from God's mouth, what God is saying, "and give them warning from me." What we're to repeat is to be God's words, what God has to say. God gave us, now He's given us completely His word. He's given us His revelation. This is God's revelation to man. So when I go to hear God's words, I'm not going to go and try to get some spooky vision in the night. I can go right here because God has a revelation for us. He has His word that He's given to us. And we can go to this and study this and see what is God's word for man. Notice there again, verse 18, he says, "You're to give them warning from me," verse 17. Verse 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, then he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul." God says to the prophet, to the preacher Ezekiel, "I want you to speak my word to them." There are times when I'm going to want you to warn the people and warn them about their sin and warn them about God's judgment. And don't you be peddling around a message that, you know, that the people will like. No, you preach them the word of God. And a lot of people in Ezekiel's day were obviously guilty of not doing that. But can I say people are guilty of that today? We live in a generation where it's becoming so common where preachers don't want to talk about sin and don't want to talk about God's judgment. They just want to talk about how wonderful God is and how we should do this and be loving and so on. Listen, God is a God of judgment who will judge sin and punish sin, and we need to preach the gospel. Preach the truth, the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God means proclaiming that we're sinners and telling people what sin is. We teach our children what is sin. We teach our children things that are wrong. Why? Because we want them to understand sin and be saved. But also then we want to teach them what's wrong and right, so they can live a life pleasing to God. It's no different in the church. We're to preach sin. The preacher's to proclaim sin and proclaim God's judgment and proclaim the gospel. That Christ too has made a way for people to be saved from that and to have life. We need to preach. Preachers need to preach the word of God and preach what God wants them to preach. Turn with me for a minute. We'll come back to Ezekiel, but turn with me over to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. Acts chapter 20 and beginning there in verse 24. We're going to read here about the Apostle Paul and some things that he said. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. It says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. He had received a ministry from the Lord, and what was it? Just that he could go on big campaigns and he could speak everywhere and you can tell everybody what you think, Paul. No, that wasn't his ministry. He was given a ministry of the Lord to preach the word. To preach the word of God. Notice it says, a ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. It was God's message he was to preach. God's message. Verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Doesn't that even really go back and apply to the scriptures we just read? Says, I've proclaimed to you the truth. I've preached to you the word of God. I don't want to be guilty. I don't want the blood of any man on my hand. Obviously, there was something where Paul knew he wasn't going to see them again, whether he was never going to be in that city again, or whether it was close to his death. But he says, I've not been guilty. I don't want any blood on my hand. I have preached to you the word of God and the truth. I hope I'll do that. I hope there'll be many preachers that'll do that, to not be guilty, and that we will preach the word of God. Go on there in verse number 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you. I've not hesitated. I sometimes have preached boldly some things that maybe you didn't like, but I've not shunned to declare it. It's the counsel of God. It's the word of God. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. To all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves, what kind of wolves? Well, false prophet wolves, and those that are deceitful wolves, and those that are deceitful preachers, and that preach their own words and don't preach the truth. He says there in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Aren't we supposed to be making disciples of Christ? But Paul warned, and he said, there's going to be some that are going to be trying to make disciples just for themselves. They're going to be preaching their own words and trying to get people to follow them. But we're to make disciples of Christ. He says in verse 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. That's the kind of preachers we need. That's the kind of preacher I want to be. That's the kind of preachers we need in the world today. Preachers who will preach the truth and preach the whole counsel of God and preach the word of God and preach what God wants them to preach. Turn with me, if you would, over to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And chapter... Actually, the 2 Timothy was what I meant to write there. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice again a charge that Paul gives to Timothy. Timothy was his preacher boy. Timothy was his son in the faith. And Timothy became a pastor and a preacher and so on. And it says there in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. He says to Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He doesn't say, just comfort and sit down on a chair and rap with them and just give them a nice talk. He says, preach the word. Preach the word. Is a preacher to comfort and is a preacher to show compassion and to preach the truth in love? Yes, he is. But he is commanded, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering, showing patience. Preach the truth and have patience with the people because they may sometimes be slow to accept it or slow to change. Show some long suffering. Preach with love, but he says, you reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Preachers need to preach the word of God. Preachers need to preach what God wants them to preach and say what God wants them to say. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 3, and I just want to focus on that one other thing for a few minutes as well. Preachers need to say what God wants them to say, and secondly, preachers must also be ready to speak when God wants them to speak. When God wants them to speak. Again, notice here Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse number 22. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, Arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, Go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." Those are some pretty interesting verses to me. You know what God wanted from Ezekiel? He said, Ezekiel, I'm going to want you to come spend some time alone with me. I want you to get out into the desert. I want you to go out here to this place, and we're just going to spend some time together, Ezekiel. And I'm going to speak to you there, and I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to share my word with you there, and I'm going to share with you some things that I want you to share with the people. But also, he said, Ezekiel, there's going to come a time where I'm just going to say, you just need to sit in your house for a little while and not say anything. I'm going to make it, Ezekiel, so that you even actually lose your voice for a little while, and you're not going to be able to speak, but there's going to come a time when you're going to get your voice back, and you're going to preach again. And when you preach, you're going to say what I want you to say. You're going to speak my words to some people that have been rebellious. I just want you to simply notice this. There were some times where Ezekiel said, I know the rebellious, and Ezekiel probably knew that the spirit of Ezekiel was like any preacher. We're human, right? And if we do some things in our own flesh and instead of in the spirit, there could be some times where maybe as a preacher he'd get a little discouraged. And think, oh, what's it worth? Oh, this people, this nation, these people, they're so rebellious to God, they won't listen. And what if he knew that Ezekiel was maybe at a point where Ezekiel would want to just let loose sometime and just rip them to shreds? And God said to Ezekiel, no, there's going to come a time where I'm just going to sit you down in your house and I'm going to make you lose your voice, and you're not going to speak for a little while. But there's going to come a time where you're going to tongues be loosed and you're going to preach again, and you're going to preach my words. You're going to preach in my spirit. You're going to preach what I want you to preach, and you're going to preach when I want you to preach. Say what I want you to say. That's pretty important. That's pretty important. I want you to notice something with me in James chapter number 1. Go there with me to the New Testament, James chapter number 1, and verse number 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. These are great verses that can apply in so many ways, and I try to apply them in my own life at different times. I try to apply them to my children and so on. But you know what? They can very much apply to a preacher as well. James chapter 1 and verse 19, what does it say? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There was a time where God wanted Ezekiel to just be quiet, and there was a time when God was going to want Ezekiel to preach. You know what? There may be times to be quiet. There may be times to preach. There may be times where God wants a preacher to speak, and there may be times where God wants a preacher to just, if I can say it this way, shut up for a little while and get alone with God and listen to God and spend time in God's Word and then go back and speak what God wants them to speak. Not speaking in anger, not speaking in their flesh, But when they go, speaking the words of God and speaking with God's Spirit and God's power, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, if a preacher just got up and he preached in his own wrath because he was just so angry at the people, and he was preaching in his flesh, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It's just a waste of time. It's his words and his anger and his flesh. It's not preaching with the Spirit of God. Stop preaching the Word of God. I'm sad to say, not in any churches that I grew up in or was ever a member of, but when I traveled on deputation, there are two instances that stick out vividly in my mind where I happened to be in a church at the wrong time. And I saw some displays of preaching. This was at some churches in the States, and maybe I shouldn't even mention it, but I saw some preaching that there's no way I can say it was in the Spirit of God. You know what? Regardless of what was going on in that church, and of course I know nothing, no, absolutely nothing. Regardless of what kind of sins there may have been in the church, or how rebellious people may have been, or what, I know nothing of that. But just to be there as a visitor and have seen a display of preaching that to me seemed like it was utterly just a man who was angry, a man who was preaching in the flesh and not preaching in the Spirit of God, not preaching the Word of God. That's not what God would want. And that wouldn't please God. And I was disappointed in that. You know, and I would be disappointed if in my life I've ever done that. Maybe I have. And I pray to God I have. And if I have, I would certainly want God to forgive me of that. That's wrong. Preacher's not to just preach in his flesh and preach with a great anger towards people no matter what. There's times to just shut up and be quiet, and there's times to boldly proclaim and preach the Word of God, because this is God's Word and this is God's truth. You know, when a person's preaching the Word of God, they can preach boldly. They can. But we're not to preach in our flesh. We're to preach in the Spirit of God. Turn with me, if you would, over to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Preachers are to preach God's Word. Preachers are not to preach in their anger, not to preach in their own flesh. They're not just to preach and tell people, well, this is what I think about your sin. This is what I think of your sin, Brother Joel. No, that's foolish. I'm to preach to a group of people and say, this is the Word of God, and this is what God says about our sin. You look at Nehemiah and some of those Old Testament men, even when they were brokenhearted and grieved over the sins of a nation, they always included themselves. Look at the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. When he's going and praying to God, God, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive our nation. He didn't just, all of them. We're to preach the Word of God and preach what God says about our sin and what God says about our lives. Look here at Acts chapter 4 and verse 17. Acts chapter 4 and verse 17. Here, people didn't like Peter and John preaching. They didn't like their preaching Christ and so on. There were some people that didn't like that, and they wanted to get them to stop. So it says there in verse 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." Some of those religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that didn't like Peter and John, they didn't like their preaching Jesus Christ. They said, we're going to command them. We're going to try to get them to stop. We're going to try to get them to shut up and be quiet. We don't want to hear that stuff. We don't want that stuff being spread. It says they called them, commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." Notice verse 23.
And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. You know what? When men are preaching what God wants them to preach, and when God wants them to preach, they can preach with boldness no matter what. It doesn't matter what faces people make at them. It doesn't matter whether people like it or not. It doesn't matter whether people reject it or not or like it or not. Preach with boldness. Why? Because you're preaching the Word of God. And you're preaching in the Spirit of God. And that's what we need today. We need preachers who will preach the Word of God and preach the truth and preach the Bible no matter what the world likes. Hey, we live in a day when a lot of people don't like Christ. A lot of people are rejecting Christ and rejecting the Bible, but still there needs to be some prophets or some preachers, some men of God who will stand in the gap and say, this is the word of the Lord. This is God's word, and this is what God says about our lives. And we'll preach it, and we'll preach the truth. When we're preaching God's word with God's Spirit, we can be bold. We can be bold. Again, that verse that we read in the very beginning of the message tonight, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30. God said there, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And what God many times is withholding his judgment for the sake of some righteous men. If there's some righteous men still, remember in the case of Abraham and Lot, God was willing to save it if there was some righteous men. In the case of nations today, I believe, in the case of the world, God is just withholding his second coming and withholding his judgment as long as there's still a remnant of people who will preach the word of God. And a remnant of people, of Christians, who will love God and be faithful to God and speak up for God like we ought to speak up for God. But there is coming a day when God will not put up with that forever. And God's coming will happen. But in this day and age, can I say, we need some people to stand in the gap. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Listen, God today still needs some men to be preachers. God is looking for some men today who will be willing to stand in the gap. God is looking for some men today who will be willing to make up that gap for God and be willing to speak for God. There is nothing we need more in this world today as far as, you know, people with an occupation than preachers. People can say, oh, in Canada we need more doctors and we need more nurses and we need more this and that. We need more school teachers and we need more. We need preachers more than we need any of that. We need preachers. Sometimes people get an idea, well, I'd love to be this or I'd love to be that. How about being a preacher? God needs preachers. God needs some men who will be willing to preach His Word. Not preach their own words, but preach God's Word. Preach God's Word. And not just preach it in the flesh, but to preach it in the Spirit of God, with God's Spirit and with God's power. You pray for me that I would be that kind of preacher. You pray that God would give us more of those kind of preachers. You pray that God would one day take some of our young people and use them to be that kind of preachers. You may be praying and say, God, if you'd ever want me to be that kind of preacher, then God, that's what I'm willing to do. I remember in Bible college, there was even some 50, 60-year-old men who were in Bible college
Different cases, different circumstances. Maybe they felt the call of God on their life in an old age. Maybe some at times said, I knew God called me when I was younger, but I didn't listen to that calling of God. And at a certain time they said, I'm going to listen now. God needs preachers. God needs preachers. You pray that I'll be the preacher God wants me to be. Hey, I'll pray that God will help you to speak up for God. You're to speak up for God and speak God's word to others and speak the gospel to others. You stand in the gap for God in the way that God wants you to share the gospel with some people. We need that today. And you pray that I'll be a preacher God wants me to be, to keep preaching the word of God. Not to preach it in my flesh, but to preach it with God's spirit and God's power.